You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, Chuck and I are sitting here with one of the most famous guitarists in the world, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. Welcome to the show.
Keith, thanks for coming on the show. Why did it take so long for you to record this album, A Bigger Bang?
It's just amazing how long these things have been. Also, from our point of view, every tour is to do with a record, you know, but you don't realize that, that's nearly 8 years gone by. You know, it's amazing, but it's true. And, it is about time, because the last tour and everything was, it was great to do it, but it was basically retro, you know. I mean, after all, that was what the record was about, you know. I mean, it's 40 licks, and so you pay your dues, and it was great fun, but we did miss having some new stuff to play, you know. I mean, and this time there's a sort of certain anticipation in the air, because we have, it's like, hey, you've got more ammo, you know, fresh magazine, you know.
When did you all decide to get together on this project?
Mick gave me a call last year, and I was kind of expecting it around that time, because it's usually about 18 months after the end of a tour when you start to think about it, you know. And obviously, there's no, you know, if we were going to go out on the road again, then needed a new record, or vice versa. We just wanted to make a new record, actually, you know. And I mean, the tour, I mean, the record and the tour has become inextricably sort of entwined together, you know. They get so at one point you think you're just making a record, and then you realize no, you're actually setting up also a world tour in conjunction with it. And so these things, you know, even though I've been doing it for these years, it only still slowly dawns on you that, oh yes, right, okay, yeah, that's the whole deal, okay.
Why did the Stones put out 4 live albums in 10 years?
Live albums are more interesting. I mean, and you get a better sound today, and some live albums, I mean, musicians playing live is after all what it's about, but at the same time, no, you can't do, you know, too many of them. Recording live is one of those things. If you record everything, sometimes you find a really good versions, you know, and you say, oh well, that's the reason you record live, and then it's worth doing. But it's not usually something we aim at doing, you know. We just record everything anyway, you know. I mean, we record every show.
I really have to say, though, the Rolling Stones, their live shows, you guys are like a fine wine. You just get better with age.
I think so, yeah. I mean, in a way, maybe that's, what is it? I think between the band, they still say, well, you know, I could still do that. I could do that better, you know. I mean, we're still, the Rolling Stones are strange guys. I mean, in a way, they're looking for the Rolling Stones as well, you know. Whoever they are, you know, and we're trying to define them. They're not definable, really, even to ourselves. You know, they keep changing on us. But in a way, I guess it's kind of just like when something takes off, you just hang on to the coattail and see where it goes, you know. It's an adventure.
But honestly, only the greats get better.
I've never really thought about that. I mean, I don't think Duke Ellington or Count Basie did, but I mean, if you're talking about rock and roll bands, yeah, most of them burn out early, yeah. Yeah, but then they don't have the conditioning that we do, you see. they missed a certain part of their training somewhere, and that's why they get worse. You know?
This album title, A Bigger Bang, are you referring to the creation of the universe?
Well, there's a hint of that, and I suppose I didn't check the title. That to me, the title came, they said that's what they wanted to call the tour, and I thought, well, given, you know, the fact of the size of these tours and the things we do, that seemed appropriate. And then they said, yeah, we want to call the album A Bigger Bang too, and I was a little bit of it, but then I realized, of course, that as I say, these tours and these records get tied in together. And there was really, you know, I'd be really swimming upstream to have argued about it, so I left it alone. Although I don't think it's the best title for an album, but then if it's in conjunction with the tour, I think it kind of makes sense. And really, the title of the album is what's inside that counts to me. Is, you know, is the music good, you know what I mean?
Have you been delving into the Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, I have done some on that. And I tell you what, I'll publish my results as soon as I've made up my mind. You know, don't we all? You know, but whether it was a big bang or whether God just flung us here, who knows? I don't really care, you know. I mean, to me, I leave that to other people that study the universe all the time. I study people. Mm.
This record has 16 tracks on it. You haven't had that many tracks on a record since Exile on Main Street, and that was in 72.
It is, I believe. Yeah, that was pointed out the other day. There's no particular reason for that, except that these were the songs that we'd done up to now that were ready to go. We cut a lot more, but these ones were ready to go, and we were saying, which ones do you want to leave off? And then there's technology to take into account, which you can actually do that. And you can put 16 tracks on a CD, whereas you couldn't on an old album. Yeah. Because the quality of sound would go. But in the long run, we just decided to say, well, this is what we've done. Let's put it all out and see what flies.
And this particular album, it covers all of the sounds and styles that, you know, the Rolling Stones are known for.
I only realized that just a week or so, Mick and I were talking when we were starting to listen to the whole thing and said, in a strange way, although we didn't plan it at all, this covers like pretty much all of the areas, you know. It was, although at the time we didn't plan it that way. I mean, we don't say, well, now we need a fast one or a slow one, we need a rocker or we need, we just cut the songs that we had, you know. Say, okay, this goes like this. And we were enjoying recording and found out that we'd actually covered the bases pretty much without even planning it. I like things when you don't have to plan them, because when you make plans, they never work, you know.
No, it's quite amazing that the Rolling Stones are in their fifth decade. That is one heck of an accomplishment.
I mean, I'm quite grateful, actually. You know? I mean, I'm still here, you know, and I'm doing what I want to do. I don't find anything scary about it, too. I find it all kind of adventurous, really. You know, especially at the beginning of these things. I mean, there's a buzz in the air, and after all, that's what I do. Yeah, it's... You know, I have no intention of retiring, and all this is, you know, when you're working with the right people, and I've always tried to make sure of that, it's always a fascinating thing. It's like making a record. You don't know quite how it's going to turn out, and it's the same with the tour. So now, you know, we're putting the stage together, and we're looking at it, and we're putting the songs together, and now we've got to put the songs together with the stage. And it's all a very fascinating process. You know, and after all, there's hundreds of things to learn, the lighting, and you have to get involved in so many things that you kind of forget about every time. You think you just want to go up and play music, and then when you get here, and then you realize, oh, you have to worry about the surface of the stage, you know, what would it be like if it's wet? And you get into all of these sort of details, and it's just, it's interesting, you know, it's better than doing nothing, you know.
And how is your relationship with Mick after all these years?
Yeah, like all friends, yeah. We have arguments. I wouldn't say fight. I mean, we've never come to blows or anything like that. Much less lately, I think we found that cooperation, and also, yeah, friends. I mean, I've known that man since he's 4 years old, you know. I mean, it's not surprising that we have ups and downs occasionally, and when it comes down to it, everybody knows that if you want to work together, then you want to cut that down to a minimum, and it's really not a point. Mick and I never think of fighting. It just happens occasionally, you know. There's just sort of something that crops up, and you go, you're wrong, you know. Like, what do you mean I'm wrong? And it's just one of those spats you'd have with a brother or something like that, you know. You say, oh, go to your room or something like that. Mm. And it's, but because we're, I guess, people want to know about us, everything, every time we do have an argument, everybody talks about it. But otherwise, you'd never hear about it. But they always resolve.
Mick was also knighted by the Queen.
No, I thought it was pretty funny coming from Street Fighter, man. And given the fact that we both spent time in Her Majesty's accommodations, you know, that and it never occurred to me, I thought Mick would despise that kind of thing, so it kind of threw me a little. And apart from that, I mean, I just thought it was a kind of minor award. I thought they should have given him a peerage, quite honestly, you know. I thought they should have made him a lord or something. Stick out for the peerage, mate, you know.
Keith, I have to ask you, why haven't you put out a solo album since 1992?
Yeah, just find the time, you know, I would. And if I could find the guys, I've seen the winos lately, but you understand, I've got to say to a bunch of guys, we've all got different jobs. You want to get together in 18 months and try and put it together. It's finding the space. It's basically logistics. Everybody would love to do it, and so would I. It's finding the time and the space, you know, really. I mean, I probably will do it, yeah.
You know, I noticed that the Rolling Stones play in small theaters and they play stadiums and amphitheaters. Why do they switch between the sizes?
Yeah, I'd like to keep it mixed up the same as last time, and maybe even a little more, hopefully. Yeah, it certainly helps our end of the things to play different sizes. If you get into the same, really the same big thing all the time, that can be, you found that can get more of a grind than if, you know, so one day you're playing an arena, theater, stadium, or whatever. It mixes it up. It makes it far more interesting for the band. You can do things on a small gig, try things out, and say, well, we can take that up to the big show. So you can kind of use each show as a trial ground for everything, you know.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. What is the process of the Rolling Stones picking their opening acts?
Don't search. We just kind of listen around, and somebody will say, you know, have you heard these guys? You know, these are interesting, or that, you know, these guys are good live. You're trying to check. You know, you say you might hear a record and say, oh, what about these guys? And they can't play live. You know, they're not very good on stage. But there's other bands. You know, so you look for, you know, guys that can play live, you know. I mean, bands that like to play live, you don't want to use somebody just because they made one good record or something, you know.
Throughout the years, can you give us some insight? What is the recording process for the band?
When we started recording, it was in that very rapid technology leaps that were going on. From, you know, we started, our first record was cut on 2-track. Within a year, we were working 4-track, and this already makes a difference. And then within a year of that, it was 8-track. Within 6 months of it, it was 16, and then to 24 within a very short space of time. And so, in a way, all of that was experiments, because every time you add more tracks to the potential of recording, you're in an unknown area, you know. You're experimenting, in other words. You know, do you need that many tracks? And so you're always playing around with this new technology. You still are, you know. I mean, it goes on and on. We don't use a studio anymore. For instance, we'll use a room maybe twice as big as this and have the machinery with the producer and the engineer inside in the room, so everybody's hearing the same thing, instead of having to go to a control room where they might be hearing something totally different to what the musicians are hearing in the studio. So we've got rid of that barrier, which helps a lot, you know, at least for a band like us.
Keith, I'm curious, when you and Ronnie are on stage and you're playing live, how do you determine who plays which guitar part?
We don't really. We just feel it. It's kind of intuition. We call it the ancient form of weaving. and it's not necessarily the same every time we play a song. There might be a nod and a wink, you know, where you swap over, but otherwise it just tends to follow itself. When you've played together with somebody this long, you can do that. It's almost, it's intuitive. It's clairvoyant, in fact. Sometimes a look, if necessary, but not often even. It's just by ear, you know. If I hear him going somewhere, I'll back down under him, and if he hears me starting to take off, he'll swap under me, so we just keep, you know, it's symbiotic.
Keith, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Keith, thanks for being on the show. It was a great honor.
Thanks again for joining us at Popstar Conversations. Make sure that you click the subscribe button below and hit the bell so that you'll be notified when our next exclusive interview with upcoming artists like Beyoncé, Cher, Miley Cyrus, and so many more are available. Thank you again for subscribing.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artists.